Certainly is our desire that the Lord would have His way here this morning. And I trust that we are yielded and still before Him so that He can speak to us, He can use us. The message this morning I've entitled, Like Sheep. And it's a look at how we are like sheep. And some of those comparisons are not all that favorable. But I wonder this morning how many of you were here approximately 10 years ago when I gave my first message here after I was ordained. It's almost 10 years, and I preached a message similar to this. And I don't know if any of you remember that or not. I've come to the conclusion that we as ministers flatter ourselves if we think people remember what we say for any length of time, because I've discovered that people tend to forget things, and I realize that when I go back and study some of the same things, same messages that I preached before, that there's things that I preached myself that I've forgotten that I preached. So I understand that people are forgetful, but I'm curious now, how many of you would have been here 10 years ago when I gave that message? There's about half of you, I think. Maybe I should rather ask which of you weren't here. And I know there's a lot of newcomers here, but it's interesting how times change. And time moves on and people change. And we're just thankful this morning that the Word of God doesn't change, but that it's applicable to us in any given age, at any given time. And I just praise the Lord for that. Like sheep. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here we find those words, like sheep, and it's not particularly a good comparison that the writer here gives. Because he says that sheep have a tendency to go astray. They have a tendency to wander. I notice the word all in this verse, and that it says all we. And so it doesn't really give anybody room to say that it doesn't apply to them, but it applies to all of us. I also notice some contrasts here. I notice the word we. We have gone astray. We have taken our own way. In other words, we really have no one else to blame for our sinfulness. But I notice the words, the Lord, in here too. The Lord God laid on Jesus our iniquities, our sins. Praise God. We got ourselves into a mess, but the Lord made a way out of the mess. I'd like to have you turn with me to Luke chapter 15 for a few verses. We'll look at Luke 15, the first seven verses. The parable of the lost sheep, very familiar. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. a beautiful picture of the Father heart of God in his pursuing that sheep which was lost. I'd like to tell a little story about something that happened to us. We raise sheep, and it's interesting how sheep, some of their characteristics and the lessons we can learn from them. And it's interesting how the Bible refers to sheep quite a bit as it refers to the people of God as well. But we have some young lambs right now, and so I normally pen the sheep up in the barn at night just to keep them safe, keep them from predators and so forth. And so I do this regularly, and recently, one morning when I opened the door to go out to do my chores, I heard the sound of a lamb bleeding. And it sounded to me like this lamb wasn't in the barn, but it was outside somewhere, but from what I could tell. And so when I got out to the barn, I counted the lambs, and I noticed that I was missing one. There was one that was not there. So I went out and I started looking for this lamb. And I'd listen for its cry. And it would bleat, and it was obviously in distress. And so by doing that, I was able to track down and find this lamb, and it had fallen into a pit. It was on our place, there used to be a building that was a scale shack where they weighed their grain, and it had a platform where they drove across to weigh the grain, and underneath that platform is a pit. Well, the building is gone, but the pit is still there, and this lamb had apparently fallen into this pit the evening before, and I didn't realize it, and it was out there all night, and it was all right when I found it. But it was down in this pit and couldn't get out by itself, so I had to reach down and help it out. And it was interesting how that the sheep, the other sheep, had kind of followed me to where this lamb was, and it just seemed like there was just a great rejoicing amongst them as this sheep was reunited with its mother. And I was just reminded of how it is when one sinner repents, when the sinner returns to his Maker, how there is great joy in heaven. And we just praise God for his tireless work at seeking those sheep that have strayed. And I'd like for us to, if we could, turn to, in our songbooks, to song number 535. If John, if you would lead that for us here, I'd appreciate it. The song is titled, He Seeks His Wandering Sheep. It's something of an invitation hymn. As we sing this, I'd like for us to evaluate ourselves and where we're at and allow these words to speak to us. Go ahead, John.
Yeah.
Song asks a question. It says, some wandering sheep he's seeking now. Say, brother, is it you? Are you safe sheltered in the fold, or are you wandering too? And it talks about the Lord seeking that sheep, and it asks the question, will he seek in vain? And we know that if he seeks in vain, it's not God's fault. It's not that he can't find us, but it's that we don't respond to him. And I'm also blessed by the thought that there's no place on earth that a person can be that the Lord doesn't seek for that person. Talks about through the briars, thorns, and brambles, he seeks with anxious heart, or mountain vale, or forest wild, or in the crowded mart, or ocean's main, or desert sands, he seeks the wide world o'er, in gilded palace of the rich, in the cottage of the poor. So where are we at this morning? Now I trust that most of us here have made a commitment to the Lord, and we've become a part of the fold. But maybe we've strayed. We are straying. And the Lord is calling you back to himself. And it may be that you've never made a commitment to the Lord. The Lord is calling you. So we are... Not only are we referred to as sheep in the Bible, but the Bible also talks about the good shepherd who takes care of the sheep, the Lord Jesus. I'd like to consider Now, some further aspects of sheep herding as it was done in Bible times and how we can apply it to our own lives. So since sheep are given to wandering, to straying, they need a shepherd for protection, for guidance, and for food. I'd like to have you turn with me now to John chapter 10. And we'll take a look at the passage that talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. John chapter 10, I'd like to read the first 15 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus speaking here to the scribes and Pharisees. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'd like for us to consider briefly here the sheepfold. In Bible times, and I'm not sure if it's still done this way in Bible lands, but the sheepfold was a roofless enclosure, probably made with stones, fairly high walls, and very solid. It was this type of enclosure that the shepherds would at night bring their flocks and put them inside a fold, a corral like this. The door to this fold was merely an opening. It didn't have anything to close it with. It was an opening in the stone. And to keep the door, the shepherd or one of the shepherds would place himself in that doorway during the night, and so that anything going out or coming in would have to cross over or past the shepherd. Numerous flocks might be kept in the same fold during the night. One thing that we want to remember as we go, and I want to talk about this more a little bit later, and that is that the fold, if it's like my barn, is that when these animals are enclosed, confined in a place like this for any length of time, it tends to become quite dirty and smelly, and you understand what I'm saying. Let's consider now the shepherd's entry. The following morning, when the shepherd comes to lead his sheep out of the fold, he He will tend to come with gentle calls, maybe whistling or softly calling as he comes, so that his sheep, so the sheep hear him coming and they're not startled by his sudden appearance. My experience is that sheep, when you come upon them rather suddenly, they spook and they'll run and maybe even hurt themselves in the process of trying to get away. But once they figure out that who's coming, then they normally calm down and will come to me. But I like the picture of this as we compare that to the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. As he comes gently, he comes softly, gently entreating us to become his. He doesn't force his way into our lives. He created us with free wills. He does not force us to become his child. He does not force us to allow him into our lives. I like the verse in Revelation 3:20 where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I get a picture of the Lord gently knocking, seeking access. It's up to us to open the door and to allow him in. I'd like to ask the question this morning, are you resisting his entrance into your life? Are you resisting giving him full control? And it may be that we do that because we're afraid. Maybe we've been taken advantage of in human relationships. Maybe we've even suffered abuse. And we've built up high walls of defense. And we're leery about anyone. And even the Lord, we feel like we can't completely trust him. But I want to tell us this morning that we can be assured that the Lord is trustworthy. He has our best at heart. He seeks our well-being. We can allow him in. We can give him full control without the fear of him taking advantage of us. It may also be that we resist allowing him full control because of pride in our lives. I want to do my own thing. I want to make my own decisions. I'm afraid that if I give God full control, that he's going to deprive me of something I enjoy. But really the opposite is true. He seeks entry to enrich us. He wants nothing but the best for us. So are we allowing him? Have we allowed him in? Are we allowing him full access to our lives? I'd like to think a bit about the shepherd's voice. Now, it says here in verse 3 of this passage that the sheep hear his voice, and in verse 4 that they know his voice. Sheep become accustomed to the shepherd's voice. They hear it often and they know it. It's familiar to them. I find it interesting that these shepherds, when they brought their various flocks into the common fold, that when they come in the morning to lead their sheep out, that they will call, and the sheep that belong to this shepherd will come out of the fold and follow the shepherd. And the next shepherd comes and calls for his sheep, and they follow him, and so forth. They know the voice of their shepherd, and they will not follow a stranger's voice. And I find that interesting. Sheep have a discerning ear, and likewise, we need to recognize God's voice. We live in a confused world, and there are many voices. There are many voices. It's incredibly important that we know the voice of God and we hear and follow God. that voice. We need to be discerning in what we hear and who we follow. And we need to have an obedient heart. It says the sheep follow him. The sheep, when they hear the shepherd's voice, obey. They follow. Hearing is not enough. We need to respond to God's voice. I believe that obedience is the true test of our love and our commitment to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. John 14, verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." If we love God, we keep his commandments. We do what he asks. And I believe it's true that maybe we find ourselves and we think God isn't speaking to us. God is, we have a hard time hearing the voice of God. It seems like he's not saying anything to me right now. And maybe it's because we've failed to obey in areas that we know. God has revealed some things to us, and we've failed to make good on that. And so I believe God does not give further revelation to us until we're willing to obey what we already know. So we need to have an obedient heart, a willingness to follow what he says. Now, verse 4, we have an interesting phrase where it says that he putteth forth his own sheep. The fold, or the barn in my case, is something of a place of safety during the night. But in the morning, it's necessary that we turn those sheep out so they can get out to find lush green pasture. And I think in a similar way, God wants to put us out of our folds, so to speak. Now, we're not talking about the fold of God as such, but our little fold, our individualism and our selfishness, our stubborn habits, and our petty interests. He wants to lead us away from these things to lush pasture, to new and fresh experiences. I believe that God would have us to look beyond ourselves and the opportunities that are there, that he places before us. If you are like I am, you're probably hesitant to venture into new territory. Just kind of like to keep things kind of safe and secure and where things that we know and have always, that seem familiar to us, we're afraid of those things that are unknown. But you know, if the shepherd is leading us, we don't have to be afraid as he leads us into new experiences, new places. I'm not sure what the shepherd is calling you to do, but we can be assured that he goes with us. He's been there. He knows the way, and we can safely trust him. So when the Lord is trying to put you out, trying to lead you to a broader perspective, then hear his voice and follow. Now, I'd like to consider briefly here a number of attitudes that we need to be followers of the Good Shepherd. In verse 4, it talks about the sheep, that the sheep do follow. And so I'd like for us to ponder briefly here four attitudes. First of all, instead of loving myself most, I am willing to love Christ best and others more than myself. True meaning in life comes from doing something for God or for others that costs us something. And I think all of us, I hope all of us understand that. We've all experienced that maybe to a certain degree. But real meaning in life comes when we look out for things other than ourselves. Second attitude I'd like for us to consider is that instead of aimlessly following the crowd, I am willing to be different, to be set apart as I follow Christ. Several characteristics of sheep that I think are basically good ones are the fact that they tend to flock together. They like to be with other sheep. And also that they tend to follow each other. Where one sheep goes, the rest tend to go with that sheep. And I think oftentimes with sheep, they kind of have a pecking order in which there's the head sheep, and then they kind of come down to the tail enders that kind of straggle along behind. Those, in a large sense, are good characteristics as we compare that to us as God's people. It's good to flock together. It's good to want to be together. It's good to influence each other and to have an effect on each other's lives. But I've also noticed with sheep that those characteristics can be negative ones. If one sheep finds a hole in the fence, all of the sheep find a hole in the fence and they all get out. If we're loading sheep on a trailer, and if you can get that first one on the trailer, it's an easy job. The rest will follow on the trailer, and the job's done. But if that first one comes up and he sees what's happening and he turns and takes off out away from you, well, you know you've got a lot of work ahead of you. It's going to be a long process. The rest of them follow that first one generally. And so, as I think about that, like sheep, we like to be with other people, and we enjoy fellowship. We want to belong. We want to be accepted. But I've noticed that in our desire to be accepted, many times we tend to follow the lead sheep. The person that is the most influential, the most popular ones, are the ones that we tend to try to follow. Well, it's important that when we follow, that we follow the right people and the right things. We need to think through what we do. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't necessarily make it right. Do we base our decisions on biblical principles, or are we worldly in the way we make decisions? I noticed in that passage in Luke 15 where it talked about the shepherd sought the sheep that was lost. I noticed that it refers to that as a sheep rather than a lamb. Now, I'm not quite sure what that terminology actually was supposed to say, whether it was referring to a little lamb or to an older sheep. I did notice that the shepherd put it over his shoulders and carried it back, so maybe it wasn't just a real big one. But I'd like for us to think about the seriousness of a sheep straying. And I'm talking now about an older person. We know that when an older sheep goes astray, the young ones, the lambs, tend to follow and tend to go with that sheep. And so the shepherd knows that if he keeps the big sheep from straying, the little ones normally will stay there too. We need to be those that others can safely follow. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I think that needs to be our goal, that we follow Christ and that other people can follow us as we follow Christ. So we don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed if people follow us. Most of us are leaders in some way. We may be parents or teachers or ministers. Our influence does count. We do influence other people. So if our influence causes someone to stumble, it is a serious matter. But I'd like to think that it can be different than that, that our influence can be that which is positive and can help others go the right direction. There's another aspect, another characteristic of sheep that is not as common, but is a very detrimental one. It's what I call the sheep-buck syndrome, which is has to do with being in charge and kind of forcing our own way, making sure we're at the feed bunk first and making sure that nobody else gets in our way on the way to the feed bunk and so forth. We at one time owned a sheep buck that had this kind of an attitude. He was mean and selfish, and it was a me first attitude. He was extremely rough with the ewes, and would just if one happened to be standing in the wrong place, he'd just plow them over, and it seemed that his goal was even to get rid of the shepherd, which happened to be me. We eventually had to get rid of him. He just wasn't very useful to the program. But he insisted on doing things his way. And I believe that if we're going to be followers of the Good Shepherd, we will need to lay down our rights and be willing to forgo them in favor of others. Instead of being the boss, we need to be willing to be at the bottom of the heap, or at least maybe somewhere in between top and bottom. I believe we are most useful when our contribution can be blended with that of the other sheep. When a person is willing to put away pride and play second fiddle, he has made good progress toward living the way the Lord desires. And I understand that drive and determination can be good things if they're tempered and under the direction of the Good Shepherd, under his management. It's what Brother Paul Miller recently referred to as sanctified zeal. I'd like to think that we're not just those that twiddle our thumbs, but our drive and determination needs to be given to the Good Shepherd for his management and his direction. And so instead of choosing, the fourth attitude I'd like to refer to now is that instead of choosing my own way, I am willing to choose and to follow in Christ's way, simply doing what he asks me to do. It means learning to cooperate with his wishes. It means parking my own will and saying yes to God's will. It means acknowledging that God's way is best. I don't know what the Good Shepherd is calling you to do, but maybe you're resisting that and you feel it's impossible to do what he asks. And I think it would be if we were to depend on our own strength and our own determination, but he gives us the strength to accomplish what he requires. I'd like to refer yet quickly to verse 5, where it talks about, a stranger will they not follow. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees who considered themselves the true shepherds, and Jesus a stranger or a false shepherd. The Pharisees had a conceited view of their own knowledge, yet did not have sense enough to realize who Jesus was and what he was saying. It seems that often the greatest pretenders to knowledge are the most ignorant. And it is a tragic condition to be blind to our own ignorance. And that, I believe, is where we can help each other. You know, I'm aware of some of the areas where I have blind spots. I've had blind spots. I know I make mistakes, but I'm guessing there are areas yet that I'm not able to see. And so I need others to help me to see those. And my wife is one that's been good at helping me to kind of see myself the way I am. But we can help each other in that way. I'd like to notice some characteristics of these false shepherds that it talks about here, these strangers. One is that they try to get into the fold other than through the door. Verse 9 says, of John chapter 10, says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the door to the fold. We will not get in any other way. And anyone that teaches something other than that, the Bible says, we know that they are false teachers. The false shepherds don't care for the sheep, it says. They run when the wolf comes, but Jesus, the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. The false shepherd steals, kills, and destroys, but Jesus gives abundant life. So it's unfortunate that the good shepherd is not the only one that would have us to follow him. There are false shepherds. There are strangers, thieves, and robbers who are bent on our destruction. We are bombarded with many false and damaging teachings. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Not everything that's called Christian is Christian, unfortunately. And if we had time, I'd turn to Matthew 7 and read there. But it talks there about, it's talking about be aware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But they really are wolves, it says. But it tells us how we can distinguish those. It's by their fruits. It says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Do their lives measure up to the word of God? God has given us in his word the means of understanding that which is true and false. I'm also thankful that he has given us the Holy Spirit. And in 1 John chapter 2, it refers to the Holy Spirit as that being that anointing that we have as believers. That anointing helps us to sift through the authentic and determine that which is authentic and that which is false. I praise God for his spirit that he's given. But it seems to me that our best defense against false teaching is just simply being well acquainted with the Good Shepherd and his word, so that we know his voice and we're familiar with it. And when a stranger calls, we understand that it's not the Good Shepherd. In closing, I'd just like to say this yet, that like sheep, we are given to wandering, to going astray. We tend to want to take our own way. Like sheep, we are in need of a shepherd to give us protection and guidance and food, nourishment. Like sheep, we will only find entrance into the true fold through the door, Jesus Christ. Like sheep, we need discernment to recognize the true shepherd's voice and to refuse to follow strangers. Like sheep, we need to follow when the good shepherd calls. We need to cooperate with him and do what he asks of us, knowing that he has our best interest at heart. Let's kneel and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you here at the close of this service. We acknowledge that you are the Good Shepherd. We thank you that you've given your life for the sheep. You've given your life for us. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for times when we stray away from you. When we tend to take our own way, Lord, we just ask your forgiveness and seek your direction in bringing us back to following you more closely. And we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that you've given, that anointing that helps us to be able to understand where we're at. Thank you for the convicting power of your Spirit. Thank you for the illuminating light that your Spirit gives us, and how that it helps to bring us, to keep us in line and to bring us back to you when we've made a misstep. And Lord, we thank you too for the other sheep in your fold that you've called, and those who are following you. And Father, I just thank you that we can help each other in this journey, that as we have blind spots, as we make mistakes, that we can help each other to stay on the right path. We just acknowledge, Lord, that there's not one of us here that has all of truth, and that together we can understand your will and know what you want us to do. I just pray, Father, if there are those here this morning who have not submitted themselves to your leadership, to following you as the Good Shepherd, I pray you would draw them to you and help them to be willing to take that step and to totally commit themselves to you. Just guide us, Lord. I pray that our lives might glorify and uplift your holy name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we come to you at the close of this service. We just commit ourselves to you afresh. I pray, Father, that as we go from here, you would lead us, we would follow you, and our lives can be a blessing to those that we come in contact with in the coming days. And just pray, Father, for your protection over us as we go. I ask, Lord, that you would cover us with the blood of Jesus, protect us from the onslaughts of the enemy, the destroyer of our souls. I just pray, Father, that you would keep us in your care. You would lead us safely home to be with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.